Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And welcome once again to Superman's Other Path, a podcast where I, Gary Roland, discuss the Silver Age comic book Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen with my daughter,
Ella Plum Roland.
And we explore the stories and the connotations and
the absurdity
and, I don't know, stuff. We just explore the stuff. We check to see, you know, if there's stuff, right?
Sure.
Okay, before we start, I would like to tell everybody that, our DC Comics slogan contest...
Has no one still entered?
No one is still entered.
Guys, it's this simple math. If you're the only person who enters, you automatically win.
Today is the 29th of January, and the contest will be open until, did I say the 15th or
probably
the 16th? February 16th, I guess. If nobody enters, then nobody enters, and it's stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the contest going until February 15th.
Yep.
DC slogan, promoting DC Comics, 15 words or less, special prize pack of seeds, greeting card, Cloverine salve.
Different prize.
That might be true, but what are we going to do? Offer a copy of Jimmy Olsen number one?
No.
No, we don't have it, and B, very expensive.
Yeah.
So it was a pack of seeds.
Cloverine salve.
Greeting card.
A Stevens credit sales.
Style printing of...
This robot is trying to smash your camera.
In frames, as that was handled in an earlier episode where...
Dinosaurs.
Jimmy ran into a robot, and on the robot it read, "This robot is trained to smash your camera."
There were also dinosaurs.
It is a back episode. Go find it.
We don't know which one it is exactly.
Not off the top of my head. So it'd be nice.
There's also a bow tie.
Oh, right. There's also a bow tie handmade by Ella Plum Roland because she is handy with the sewing. That sound you just heard was the sound of my daughter freaking out because a spider had just come down and...
Sorry, I have arachnophobia.
...arrived in front of me.
He's in your hair.
Is he in my hair still?
No.
Okay. He is now handled. We're getting ready to start. So we'll go in just as we always have. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. I have to say that this one is a little bit less insane than some of the previous issues that we've been reading. It gives us an opportunity to sort of take a breath and going like, oh, come on. This is September of, I believe it is, 1957.
Probably still.
September of 1957. It is, and it starts Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. And featuring the adventures of Private Olsen. And there's Jimmy Olsen.
And Superman.
And Superman.
And Superman's hiding behind a wall thingamadoo.
Right. And obscured, he is obscured so that the guy who's leaning in the window, the sergeant, I can tell by his stripe, he's leaning in the window and says, "Great guns! Only 5 minutes ago I put Olsen on KP duty, and already he's peeled all those spuds. That rookie's another Superman."
So Jimmy Olsen and Superman are both peeling potatoes, and Superman is basically just like, pew, 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 and Jimmy Olsen's just peeling potatoes like a regular human.
Right.
And the pods of the potatoes are going to taters, yes. Potatoes are going into, are these two giant vats that read USA on them?
Right. Because, okay, so...
Because the government has its own special brand of cookware.
You see, now, in our modern time, much of the, a lot of the sort of logistical work, the stuff that's not directly related to the army and, like, fighting and stuff is all sort of farmed out to private contractors such as Blackwater and KBR, which has changed its name to something. Anyway.
I'm gonna trust you with this.
So, but at the time, in the 50s, they all handled their own food.
They peeled their own potatoes.
And they peeled their own potatoes. And something called KP duty.
Kitchen patrol duty.
Was considered the crappiest work, and it was used as a punishment often, and they would send people to go and peel potatoes.
I mean, at sleepaway camps that I've been to, they call, whenever you have to, like, set the table for your entire cabin, that's called KP duty, and that's not so bad.
Right, but this is like, but now, of course, they have potato peeling machines, and...
They actually?
They do.
Seems unnecessary.
It makes the potatoes smaller.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't take off as much. It takes off a little more of the actual potato than just the but it doesn't matter. Because you... I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I didn't make it.
Neither am I, but like that, like potatoes are irregular shape and size.
You know, they do amazing things with machines.
I'm aware.
Okay. So basically this is the time when, you know, people were being punished for KP duty. And there were also, when we still had like comedies about the army.
Yeah, that's not a thing now so much.
No. I think every time they try it, it just doesn't work.
Yep.
There will be no, there was, the big one was, well, there was Sergeant Bilko.
Yep.
McHale's Navy, Gomer Pyle, USMC.
I don't know what
are. These are all shows that were based around the Army. That's now, there was Hogan's Heroes, but that sets up a special place in the pantheon of sitcoms because it was a sitcom set in a Nazi POW camp.
Oof, no, that sounds like a bad idea.
But all the Nazis were bumbling.
It's like a really bad
and
idea.
And the camp was actually a secret spy and resistance operation.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Well, the thing that saved it is at least one, I think two of the cast members were actually Holocaust survivors.
Well, they probably would.
So they lent a certain degree of credibility to it so that everybody didn't just go, stop it.
I would have still just gone, stop it. You don't need to, like, make it into... No.
And I know this is not a popular opinion necessarily, or maybe it is. It was fairly funny. I mean, you know, as a child, I didn't think it... Because I didn't think about the politics of it at the time.
You shouldn't that awful and try to make it.
Well, there's absolutely no way it could be done today. No way.
No.
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 Anything involving POW camps are not...
It's not acceptable as a comedy.
Yes. You know,
or really any other thing.
I think pretty much Vietnam put a stop to all that.
I think we've gotten a bit...
I think we have. I think we've gone certainly far afield. So we go to our first...
We went off the rails again. Woohoo!
We've gotten our first thing where it says, Yogi Berra homers in the ninth, wins big game. Crack. And now...
Crack is the sound of a baseball bat hitting baseball.
So before, it was Mickey Mantle who was helping people sell stuff.
Now it's the guy with the picnic basket.
Now it's Yogi Berra, everybody's famous, you know, everybody's guy who gets things wrong over and over again. Like, he's the guy who said, it ain't over till it's over.
He's not Rupert.
They say, like, you know, like, there's a guy who said, hey, Yogi, what time is it? And he said, do you mean right now? As the kind of genius that we were dealing with. But it's a cartoon with Yogi Berra, which is not a good likeness at all. Luckily, there's a picture of Yogi Berra up on top. He later became, I believe he was a Yankee yet. It's what he's on his cap. But he eventually became the coach of the Mets. That's kind of how I knew him. So basically, they're like, so... A guy, the kid's looking and he's going, hey, look at all those gifts Yogi is getting from the fans. And he says basically that what happens is that the kids are selling Cloverine salve and giving him gifts.
What? This doesn't make sense.
I know. And he says, take it from me, kids. The easiest way of all for you to get swell gifts or cash is by selling white Cloverine brand salve.
No, I doubt that.
I don't know.
How many people are looking for whatever the hell that is?
I don't know.
What is the purpose of it?
I don't know. This is the goal. Oh, right. Did we say that Cloverine, a can of Cloverine salve?
Yes, we did. I still don't know what the purpose of it is.
I don't know either, but I can't wait to buy my tin. And
you have to buy a second tin so that I can, like, be absolutely. Like, what is this for?
To buy a tin of it, because they actually have the tin with the old-time label on it. So, basically, sell salve or salve.
And give your prizes to friends.
And get stuff like deep fat fryer, Dutch oven,
radio,
typewriter, archery set, pony.
Flute looking thing.
Still would love to find somebody who got a pony.
Pocket watch, wagon, doll.
Bicycle lamp, toaster. You get the idea.
Guns.
You get the idea.
Two different guns. What is it with 1950s people and guns?
I don't know. Okay, so that brings us to our first story. I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Are the ancient tales of genies only fables? Well, Jimmy Olsen finds out for himself one day when his Superman signal watch summons someone else besides the Man of Steel. A legend turns into a true-life adventure for the cub reporter when both a genie and Superman answer his signal watch in Jimmy Olsen's Two Super Pals. And here we have a downed tree in our first panel, and Jimmy Olsen has pressed his watch, and he says, let's see. And so there are two people who show up. One is, of course, Superman. And the other is... He does. He looks a little like he's green. He has vaguely like that like Y thing. But, and so the green thing says, I shall hurl away that dead tree. And then Superman's saying, no, let me do the job, Jimmy. And then Jimmy.
Like, gee, I wonder who I should choose.
Right. He's like, it's great to have two super pals. Sure. What are the problems? I mean, you know, I don't see what the problem is necessarily, but why don't you tell me what you think the problem is?
Why you sound so sarcastic and judgmental?
I'm just saying things. It is my face, and it is just words that are coming out of my mouth that are asking me, because it's just that there's so much wrong. Like, how can you just start with one thing?
Well, that seems to be, like, my thing. Like, I have been known to, like, kind of ignore plot holes in certain things because the wardrobe from one character was bothering me.
Right. So, we start off that Jimmy Olsen is fixing a Superman souvenir with a soldering iron.
And the wire zaps his watch. How does that can't be helped.
The cord is frayed. It does happen. If a cord gets frayed.
It shoots lightning?
No. It has a propensity for the cord to short, which would cause a spark, and the spark can fly out. It's not necessarily the cleanest way, but it could happen. It would be more of an... Now, in the panel, it just... it's taking a direct route, where really, if it were a...
It would, like, fly up
would,
and then...
Well, it would be more of an arc, but this is a terrible, boring thing to say that it would do this. And if anyone out there thinks that it's different, please...
Illuminated
parchment. Heraldically correct. So,
So a tree falls over.
Right. So the outside, so he's, all right, well, instead of, and now Jimmy Olsen, we all know, instead of, like, calling the tree man, he calls...
Superman. Because, you know, he has nothing better to do all hours of the day. He's not, like, off, supposed to be saving the universe or anything.
Right. So, Superman doesn't show up.
Instead, in a puff of pink smoke that says, Kahoom!
Jimmy Olsen goes, holy cow, that's not Superman! Oh!
There's a green dude in a weird unitard
and like a little pencil-thin mustache.
With pointy ears and weird eyebrows.
And apparently his ultrasonic signal crossed the dimension barrier and summoned this guy from the ancient land of genies. Okay. He is only known as Genie.
Okay,
Yes.
Just the look on your face when I say that. He does this thing where he's like, why do you have the question? We know it's going to be something completely and totally obvious.
This is totally, I mean, this is the reason why this whole show exists.
is so that I can say I have
Is so that you have questions and, you know, I have speculative answers, and, which may or may not be correct.
And ever or hearing about. Let's start with that.
They don't call it a dimension. They call it like a realm or the land of genies.
Is that a thing that you could find in mythology?
Yes.
You know this for a fact.
Yes.
All right.
Like, where do you think the genies come from? Like, why do you think...
Bottles!
Right, but how did they get in those bottles? Why are there genies in bottles? How did they get there?
They just did.
See, that's not true.
See, they went on Supernatural and they made a deal with the demon, and the demon was like, nope, you're trapped in a bottle forever. So they were trapped in a bottle forever.
Right, when Supernatural was on 3,000 years.
A really long time.
It's true, it has been on for a very long time. Well, like 15 seasons?
14 years.
That's crazy.
So back to the 1950s, right. When Supernatural had its beginnings.
So, basically, to let you know that, there's a land of genies, that they were all imprisoned in bottles and lamps and such. Yeah.
If there are so many, why does he only have the name Genie?
I don't know. Maybe his parents didn't really have any imagination.
Yeah, but, like, that's so, it's so... Like,
you don't know anybody named Genie?
Do you?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Is it spelled that way?
No.
Oh, well, there we go.
Okay, so Genie is actually spelled, like, the way that it supposedly is spelled is D-J-I-N-N.
D-J-I-N-N-I.
Right. D-J-I-N-N-I.
Djinn.
And it's just Djinn. In America, or the sort of romanticized, not romanticized, the anglicized version has become G-E-N-I-E, like the vacuum.
Yep.
So I believe, though, we're getting...
Is it just one of those names that it's like too cliche, so that he's the only person who has it because no one else would be dumb enough to use?
No. I don't know why. Maybe his name can't be produced by... can't be reproduced by human mouths.
Like Batmite!
Exactly.
Batmite's a whole...
Well, maybe he's...
Maybe he is Batmite.
Maybe he's from the dimension that Batmite is from. Oh, completely different topic, and I'm only going to say this for a second.
Today
is the birthday. January 29th is considered the birthday of Arthur Curry, otherwise known as Aquaman. And so, and that's something I post regularly on the Facebook and Twitter and Instagram group, like the
Instagrams.
And the birthdays of noted Silver Age DC characters. So today is Aquaman's birthday.
Happy birthday, Aquaman!
And I was looking through, trying to find a photo.
Yeah.
And I found that there was a cover with a character that was like a Batmite or Mr. Mitspitalik for Aquaman.
They all need to have their own bat.
Yeah, I think so.
That's so adorable.
Be interesting to see what the Flash would get. Getting back, so you find out that the genie is super strong, and he has
flame breath, and he flies.
So basically, he's just like Superman,
except he has breath.
And the genie's like, okay, well, thanks for letting me out.
I'll call me back whenever.
Just let me know when. If you just need me, let me know. And so he goes out, and we see that there's a block of cement that is falling down, about to fall down on a man, and he summons the genie, and the genie breaks it, and then,
sentence word, Matt.
Like a girlfriend, he decides to bring his new pal around the office to get everybody to meet him. And so on the way, he's flying, and they gather money that is blown out of somebody's hands. And back in the Daily Planet, we see Superman.
And Superman's like, gee, I haven't seen Jimmy in a while. And they're like, haven't you heard? He's hanging out with a genie all the time now, and he's doing all these scoops about him. Aren't you jealous? Well, not aren't you jealous, but like, it's heavily implied he's super jealous.
Right. And but Superman's like, I'm trying to find this guy called the Mind Robber, who is a clairvoyant crime boss who has the ability to read minds.
It's not a question.
Go ahead.
Clairvoyancy is typically the ability to tell the telepathy.
I am not going to get into a discussion with you.
That is my understanding of it.
This is actually one that, if you really feel the need...
That is my
I'm going to give Ella Plum the email address, and
no!
You can email her directly with the answer to
Seriously?
This.
Seriously?
No, that's not true. I won't do that.
Seriously, did I say something wrong?
But otherpalspod at gmail.
Will you let me know, please?
Otherpalspod@gmail.com, and I will make sure that they get forwarded.
What stupid thing have I said this
to my daughter? Please, somebody, let us know.
That is my understanding of it.
What the distinction? All I'll say is just Google it. I'm not saying
I don't carry my phone.
I don't know. I'm not saying do it now because I don't know if you know this, but we're in the middle of a show.
So what? You've Googled stuff before?
Yeah, but not like this. We're already way off track.
We
so,
are.
So it's a guy who reads minds, they can't catch him. And Superman's like, I haven't heard from Jimmy. And then they're like, hey, he's hanging out with his genie. And
Superman's like, what?
And then suddenly,
Jimmy flies in and being carried by the genie, and it's super awkward for everyone.
Right. He's like, who is this costume person waiting for you? Theoretically, we could say, well, that's you, genie. But,
Because he's not waiting for Jimmy.
But Superman's like,
with Jimmy.
I'm just an old friend, but one Jimmy has forgotten, it seems. Well, good luck with your genie, Jimmy.
So much.
And this is like, these are
so
becoming...
So much.
I don't know.
I'm not even gonna say it. Everyone knows what I'm thinking at this point. So much of it.
I don't know at this point if it's just that I am way more aware of it.
Are we sure Lois Lane is his girlfriend?
No, we are not. It is sort of a Betty and Veronica situation. But like, I don't know if it's just because I'm seeing it more, like because I'm more aware of it. But I am seeing more
so
like
much.
Chokes. I am seeing so much like chokes and gulps and ulps. And once again, you'd never see that in today.
Might be once or twice. I think I might have seen it once or twice, but, like, very rarely.
Okay, so...
And so he's typing up a report about the genie, and the genie walks in, and then a whole bunch of stuff happens, so the genie fixes it instead, and even makes a giant bellows out of old metal to do something that flame breath would just make worse.
So, what happens is, eventually the genie leaves, and he's like, I have to go back to my dimension, and he leaves, and he comes back, and he's like, I can't go back. The only thing that can get me to back home is radium.
Radium.
And it is the most valuable element on Earth because it's the 50s. It's the atomic age. So we're worried about radium. But I know.
Everything radium on it. Why do you think it's so rare and like precious? You could literally look at a watch, take off the hands, and there you have radium.
So as the genie runs off to try to find some radium, the mind robber comes in. And, you know, it's like, right, kid. And I picked up your thoughts when the genie spoke to you before, telling how he can't return to his dimension. I've got a proposition for him. I'll signal his watch, and so the genie comes back, and the mind robber goes, hey,
I'll split the radium with you if you help me. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Can quote him with the super absurd.
Okay. But with your superpowers, you can bore down and get it. I'll make a deal with you and split half with you. It's radium, see? And then the genie says that he can return to his dimension. So he decides to sell out. Jimmy Olsen, who is like, "Oh no!" And he gets all choked up.
And then the genie digs into the ground and then comes back out as Superman and is like, here's your radium. Wait, you can't have it.
Right.
And then explains that he was genie the whole time and the way that he was able, and the only way that he would be able to fool the mind robber was to also fool Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, but then how come you and were in the same place at the same time? He's like, Perry White put on this costume that was on this mannequin that you just randomly have lying around with me?
No, Superman says, you see, I keep that hollow Superman dummy on hand for special occasions.
What are these special occasions?
I don't think I want to get in. So
this is no.
Just the farther we get down into it, like the more homoerotic it gets.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say that, but yeah.
So finally, and you know, Superman says, I'm sorry. But Jimmy's like, it's okay. And then we have here, coming next issue, Jimmy Olsen becomes the Gorilla Reporter. I am a sucker for an intelligent gorilla story. I don't know why.
Gorilla Grodd is his favorite character possibly ever.
Mm-hmm. Not possibly. No, well, it's pretty close between him and Bizarro.
It's pretty great.
Go ahead.
He can like
Superman. Maybe he didn't try. Maybe he has super mental abilities that get... I don't know.
It's gotten to the point where you can't even explain it. You just have to be like, I don't know, because I will question everything said.
Right. Which is fine. I appreciate it. But, you know, at some time, I'm just going to have to say,
I don't know.
I just don't know.
Stamps!
So now we're back at stamps.
Royal family stamps!
Yep.
All of them.
All the royal families. I can see Southern Rhodesia's royal visit.
All genuine, all different, all yours. At least that's what it says on the ad. And it says, get all three for free. So they really don't know what to do with all these stamps.
No. So.
Like, they are literally just like, take the stamps.
Now we have Varsity Vic. Varsity Vic is asking the librarian, hey, where is the Greek literature kept? And the librarian gets very, very excited about it and says, oh, look, oh, we're all, ooh, ah, he. She thinks she sees
a young scholar
or a kindred spirit. And just as she's about to talk to, go into full Greek lit geek mode, Vic's like, I'm only here to meet a girl. Because as we all know, Vic, girl crazy. No, please, go ahead.
Typically, in my experience, libraries are organized a bit different than that. Like, you can find, like, directory stuff.
Well, this is the 50s. Maybe libraries were made different then.
And also, this is just, like, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, the woman that he's talking to has clearly been, like, well-educated on this. And, like, is very, like, knowledgeable about it. And so I think that's pretty good for the 50s. But I also don't like that it ended like that.
Well, of course. Like I said, this is the time when, like, everybody, they wanted you to casually date. They didn't want you to get too...
In actual relationships.
Right. So, then we have another ad for Palisades Park.
Apparently, is no longer a park.
appears in all September and October issues. All you need is a quarter and a time machine, and you can go back in time and get a free admission to Palisades Park.
I have my quarter, and I know where to find a TARDIS.
And we're now
good. I'm gonna go to Palisades.
See, now it seems like this is catching on, like the popularity of Jimmy Olsen is catching on, because now they're selling half pages of advertisement. Instead of the full page. They can probably get more money for two half page as opposed to one full page.
Yeah. So, they are trying to sell you in this part of the page movie and TV star pictures.
That is correct.
Okay, because there's a picture of Debbie Reynolds. And, like, that's one of the things that you can buy.
And has no relation to Burt Reynolds at all. So you can get pictures of Tony Curtis.
Elvis Presley.
Debbie Reynolds. Tab Hunter.
Tab. Not Tab.
Nope. Tab Hunter.
What would that be short? Is it short for anything? Or Tabitha? Is his name just his dad? He doesn't look like Tabitha.
Maybe not. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I believe Tab Hunter was, at the time, a heavily closeted homosexual.
Yeah, I don't know that.
There's a great, I don't know if I'll say great, but there is a documentary on Netflix about him.
Oh, that's
and, like,
cool.
What happened to him. Oh, which brings us to our next story, which I think will hold a special place in everyone's heart. Go ahead. I'm not even gonna, like, there's gonna be no run up. Like, I don't know. I saw this story and I was just like, I don't know, my heart sang a little bit. I was just like, oh, like this, oh, go ahead.
Whenever irrepressible Jimmy Olsen gets into a jam, he can usually depend on Superman for help. But even the Man of Steel cannot rescue his young pal one day from the clutches of the Strange Beard Band. For a hair-raising tale packed with close shaves, see what happens when our impetuous cub reporter, when he becomes Jimmy Olsen, the Bearded Boy.
Sorry.
For the audience, my dad is on, like, the verge of tears.
I have to tell you that I'm gonna be laughing a lot at this, just because the base premise of this story is so absurd, especially in these modern times.
I'll save the question for later.
Go ahead.
No, it's not gonna be relevant for like another minute.
All right. Okay. So in the intro panel, we see Superman flying, and something is attached to his belt. What is attached to his belt?
The bottom end.
Yes, the bottom end of an incredibly long beard attached to Jimmy Olsen. And Jimmy says, "Holy cow! My long beard got hooked accidentally Superman's belt. I'm being dragged along as he flies." And Superman says, "I have that strange feeling that someone is following me." So
I do like that they went with that was what Superman was thinking, and not like, "Holy crap, Jimmy, are you okay?"
Yeah, I don't know why he's not thinking, "Ah, my beard! Ow, this is incredibly painful!" That's what he should be thinking.
Yep.
Help!
Help, I'm flying stories above the ground!
Ow! So what we find out is there's this secret society of bearded men called
Beard Band.
The Beard Band.
And Jimmy's trying to sneak in because apparently, you know, no other reporter or himself, really. Like, the guy has a helicopter license and seems to live by himself. So,
no, I don't know. He might not be. Or he could just be one of those guys who can't grow a beard.
Or, like, no one else at the Daily Planet was willing to do this for him.
Nope.
And be just like, "Fine, I'll grow a beard so I can get into this."
So he puts on a fake beard. First thing he does, puts on a fake beard. Walks in, guy at the door, yanks his beard, comes off, and says, "You're fraud. You don't have a beard.
Go away.
This is for bearded people only."
And then a member goes up to Jimmy and is like, "Oh, do you need to get in? Well, here's the secret beard serum formula. You just drink this, you'll have a beard in a couple of minutes, and then you can just go in and go unnoticed."
And of course,
it works.
As we all know, Jimmy is always quick he to jump.
He just loves being the guinea pig.
No, he like, just, you know, he is very quick to drink mystery liquid. So,
as we all know from the space liquid.
That's where it starts, but like all over the place. He's just constantly drinking things and subjecting himself to experiments. Yes, it did, but Jimmy had not. He was an impetuous teenager, so...
But he lives on his own and has a helicopter license.
Look, I don't know.
What is this supposed to be?
Jimmy Olsen downs the beard growing formula, which, of course, he's just like, of course, it's that beard growing formula that we all know about. So what happens is a real beard grows on him and he's able to get in. And what you find out is that this has all been a trick.
And so during the meeting, they call up Jimmy Olsen and they're like, wah-ha-ha-ha-ha, we are the evil secret society. Villains of story.
Aside from that.
Okay, so
basically they're like, well, so it's like, hail bearded brothers. As you all know, people laugh at our beards. I guess they do. But very soon, their ridicule will change to respect, thanks to Jimmy Olsen, Superman's pal. And Jimmy Olsen's like, oh, the jig is up. And they're like, nope, we planned this the entire time. And basically what they're saying is, so tomorrow...
You're gonna do a whole bunch of publicity stunts.
Right.
To bring beards back to popularity. And then we will give you the antidote so that your beard does not grow at the rate of a centimeter a minute.
Because, of course, as we all know, there is nothing worse than having a beard.
This is my only concern, because at the rate that his beard...
Just the one?
This is the only concern that I'm going up at this time.
Okay.
The rate that his beard is growing at, it will quickly, like, start dragging on the floor, and he could start stepping on it, or, like, it could get tangled in something, or, like, it could prevent day-day.
Right, but he could just carry along a pair of scissors with him and just...
Yeah, that would be much more practical. But they're like, and we will only give you the antidote for this after you've made beard popular.
Right, you have to bring back the beard, because, of course, this is their evil scheme.
No foreseeable wearing off of this, because I imagine whatever chemicals like started this probably wear off at some point.
Well, also, are beards that unpopular? I mean, they must be.
But like the beards these people are sport are like
they are kind of crazy beards.
Like Charles,
right?
Beard.
They're like
this is like Charles Darwin.
These are like crazy old timey long.
These are like the Civil War general mutton choppers.
Exactly. So, of course, he's like, all right.
And so he goes back to the Daily Planet, and he's like, guys, I'm in trouble, help me. And they're like, well, sir, this can't real. And so Perry and Clark both just, like, tug the mystery formula.
Right, because they've contracted Jimmy's disease of...
No common sense.
Right, so they both drink the liquid, and...
Perry gets a beard in, like, 3 minutes, and then Clark's like, since I'm super impervious to all chemicals, I feel like that was what...
Well, I will say...
I feel like chemicals have worked.
That, there is a... what is it? I believe there is a red kryptonite story, which is the famous kryptonite that will always affect Superman in a very weird way. And in that story, there's one of the stories, Superman grew like a super long beard and nobody could cut it off because it's Superman.
Well, if that's a problem, how come his hair's always so short?
I don't know. Like, right. This of course brings up the idea of like, why, how does he shave? I don't want to get into that.
This, that, and the other. So, to look inconspicuous, he takes the lining out of his jacket and, like, basically super shreds it up, glues it to his face, and is like, look, I have a beard, too. And so Perry White's like, well, this isn't so bad. And then an electric fan starts blowing in his face. The beard, like, flies up, and, like, he can't see anything. And then it proceeds to get stuck in it. What are you doing?
I had no idea that beards were so dangerous.
What are you doing?
Perhaps in this modern time where beards are very prevalent, we should all be wary of... I guess we're lucky we don't have...
We should all be wary of typewriters and electric fans.
I guess we're lucky we don't have typewriters anymore. But, so, the first thing that happens is...
So, the next day...
Jimmy is like, all right, well, I gotta go to show up as a beard to
the,
all these
the
things.
Opera.
So, the first thing he does is goes to a play where there's father time.
He's now got an Albus Dumbledore-length beard. Not from the movie, the book.
So, he's got a good box so that everybody could see him. He's got, like, one of those opera boxes.
Yeah. He leans over the railing, show it off. off, and then the actor on stage, for some reason, has an actual scythe, like, not just, like, a fake, like, foam-bladed whatever, an actual scythe, and swings it for whatever reason, and it cuts off Jimmy's beard, and, like, the Bearded Society is like, you know you disgraced us.
Right.
Now you have to work twice hard.
You know, well, he's supposed to be Father Time, and I've seen, I think, I'm pretty sure I've seen pictures of Father Time carrying a scythe.
He does.
But the question I wonder is, what is he doing with it? I don't know. So, I don't know. So he goes and he swings the scythe. Yes?
This is a plague. Why does he have an actual sharpened scythe?
I don't know. And why is it so, so sharp that it could just cut through a beard?
Like an entire beard in one swoop without the guy seemingly noticing what even.
And the audience starts laughing and then he comes out and then a beard member of the beard band comes up to him and it was like,
you disgraced us.
Right. This is not the way to get that antidote back.
For me, this would just be like, this is what you get, people.
Right.
You forced me into this, so I am just going to, like, disgrace you all the time until you give me the antidote, and then you have to build your reputation back up. Right?
So, he then goes to get a snack, but because he doesn't know how his beard works, it sets on fire, and he puts it out.
His beard on fire!
He puts it out in a shower, and then he goes to a park statue of, he goes dressed as Robinson Crusoe, and everybody thinks it's funny, because they were dedicating a statue of Robinson Crusoe, and he came dressed as Robinson Crusoe, and everybody thought
his beard was funny.
His beard was funny. But another member of the beard band is like, this isn't working.
Well, and then, if it isn't working, then stop making me try to do it.
And then he goes dressed as one of the seven dwarves, and on his way, dressed in his dwarf costume.
He has to have like five pillows stuffed under his... Because, like, it's so absurd.
On the way to the Seven Dwarfs exhibit, he runs across one of Metropolis's...
One of the millions and millions of random thieves and crooks who are just firing at will, and he shoots Jimmy's beard off.
Right.
Doesn't actually injure Jimmy,
just shoots the beard off. Go right ahead. Well, just one.
Well, no, it would take more because there's, like, volume and stuff, and some of the hair would probably be, like, out of the way or something, or just singed off, and then you had this dumb-looking hole in your beard.
Look, I think you're putting too much thought.
Always putting too much thought into it.
So, but he takes the bit of cut-off beard and uses it as a lasso to, rope the criminal.
That's how long his beard is. And so he calls Superman, and Superman's about to go, and he's like, wait, I have to take the beard off. So he rips it off, and then he goes, and he's like, well, thank you, Jimmy. Good thinking about using your absurdly long beard to trip the robbers.
Right.
Can I also know that there were two robbers, and he only tripped one of them, and the trip was actually in the back? So, theoretically, the first one should have gotten away.
Right, but he's Superman, so he goes and chases him. So they got into a car, and then, of course, he lifts the car up, doesn't throw it on him.
My suspicions came true. I don't even remember reading this part, but it came true. Jimmy is walking along, dressed as Pilgrim, or Rip Van Winkle. Dressed as Rip Van Winkle, and he steps on his own beard, trips over the path, and falls into this absurdly deep, just random sand pit.
Right. One of the many sand pits that plague
Metropolis.
I guess that's what they make the sand pits to catch the criminals.
So, like, of that looks like that's like harder.
So he's trapped in a sand pit, so he hits his signal to catch Superman, but Superman has his hands full in the mountain.
Of, like,
so Jimmy's like, okay, well, I guess I gotta save myself. So he cuts off his beard.
And it grows back, and he cuts it off again, and it grows back, and he cuts it off again. And how long is he in this sand pit?
Apparently a very long time.
And so he then makes it into a lasso, lassos the tree, and digs himself out.
But then, he goes, the beard band people are just like,
you're never getting this,
like, wait, you've screwed up everything! You've ruined our plan! So then they go to...
Shouldn't have also have beard formula slower acting, so they just have to, like, all of the stuff.
So now they have to carry out Operation Whiskers. And so they seize Jimmy and put him away. Cut off his beard. Dude, I don't think they cut off his beard.
They cut off part of it.
So what they're gonna do is they're gonna basically poison the water system with their beard tonic. So then everyone will grow beards and
they'll be forced to be
And then everyone will grow beards, and then beards will be in vogue again, and the beard ban will be triumphant. This is...
You know how you were saying this is a less absurd issue?
Right.
This
really has to be the single most low-stakes crime, like superhero, supervillains I've ever heard of. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to steal anything. I don't want to rob banks. I don't want to get money. I don't want to rob jewelry stores.
Stop making fun of me for having a beard.
Right.
You know, if you're so concerned about what other people think about whether or not you have a beard, stop. Like, if you like having a beard, then have a beard. But don't force other people.
Well, this is a time that was like conformity was a real big deal. And nobody had.
Oh, yeah, I remember. There was a PSA about it on this.
Right. And there's another one. Anyway, so there's one about to come up. So what happens is, basically, long story short, they cut off Jimmy's beard. He throws it into the tonic to try to do something with it. And then it, of course, as we all know, when you throw beard into beard tonic, it turns it into an antidote.
And so
the beard band
all drinks it for some reason. They all have beards already.
Right. They want to test it. And then somebody says,
you need to like get rid of your beard. And then
somebody says, our beautiful beard's gone. That finishes the beard band. Sob. I guess. I don't know. So, end of story. The last little bit, Jimmy Olsen, there's a revolutionary moment where Perry White allows Jimmy Olsen to call him chief just so that he would get the darn beard antidote. Right. So, that brings us to our next story, which is Danger, Prejudice at Work. So, what happens is Pete comes back,
he's talking to a friend about the local baseball game.
Right. And so he goes and he sees that there are all these people who are
not white.
Quote, not that. And they don't look like our kind. And there's a guy who says Carumba, who does not look white, who does not look Hispanic at all. But so Sam is, of course, giving everybody the business. He's being a crazy racist. I don't understand how you even know that he's a Latino. Right, because he says Carumba.
But, like, he said that, and then an entire sentence in English, and he was like, see, the guy doesn't even speak English!
Right. So, what happens is, of course, Luis picks up the bat, and starts to take a swing, and he goes, strike one! And then Sam's like, hey, what'd I tell you? You sure got a bunch of lemons that moved into this neighborhood.
Lemons?
And then, finally...
Lemons?
Yeah, not good stuff. And then Sam, he has to eat his words because Luis
on the second try
hits a home run because, as we all know, the Latinos, I don't think at this point, probably not at this point, but, you know, they have a long, strong tradition of being very good at
it. So next, and so the moral of that story is don't be racist.
Right.
And this is the 1950s saying this, so probably.
And really what they mean is don't be racist. Right. Or just like, don't be racist, but you know. And it's published as a public service in it. Public service in cooperation with announced National Social Welfare Assembly, coordinating organizations for national health, welfare, and recreation agencies of the U.S. And then we have
100 toy soldiers. 100 toy soldiers. $1.25.
Packed in a Foot Locker. And then explanation of how to become a ball player. And basically,
ball
players at this point is all pretty much all about baseball. And, you know, they say you should get started between 12 and 16 and start with a sandlot team, go to a playground team, try out at your school. And basically, they describe
the whole process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like Little League is now a thing, is more of a thing. They don't really have sandlot baseball is not really a thing. It's the sandlot. Oh, wait. Or is it Angels in the okay. Goonies? That doesn't remind you of sandlot baseball?
Did it?
No.
Then why are you making me question?
All right. So our final story of this issue. Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. In pursuit of newspaper scoop, Cub reporter Jimmy Olsen will try anything, even becoming a Cub soldier temporarily. But little does Superman's young pals know the obstacle course before him when he dons khaki. You will find both chuckles and chills as you follow Jimmy in The Adventures of Private Olsen. No, you don't. Well, you know, the military is not something that people joke about because, you know, it's people shooting each other and dying is a terrible thing. But now we have your classic.
You just made fun of Ed.
Well, yeah.
But why?
I don't know. So now we have the sergeant is yelling at Private Olsen, who is just, he is stuffed, full of stuff, including his rifle, his pack, and what looks like a recoilless rifle, which is basically a bazooka.
That's what that is.
Tied to his back. And so the guy goes, start your 20-mile hike with a full pack, Private, on the double. Hep, hep. And then
hep, hep.
Jimmy, looking sad sack-like, is like, on the double? I can hardly walk with this super full pack. Gasp! Sergeant Bly must think I'm Superman.
Well, to be fair, you have been using Superman the entire time there.
Oh, by so the way, this, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was sometime in the last few days, the creator and artist of Beetle Bailey, Mort Walker, which is a story about a guy who is in the army and is always trying to get it, and R.I.P. Mort Walker. You will be missed, maybe, probably. So Superman takes Jimmy to visit his old friend, Colonel Otis, to try to get Jimmy in to... to the military for a week, just to see, so he could write a story about what's going on.
And so Jimmy is like, well, I don't want any special minutes. I'm not going to put down my actual name, but I will put my down a name that is my first name and then a different surname. And that surname apparently is the surname of, like, General or something?
Right. A guy named General Hudson. And so they say that it's actually, so this one guy thinks, this sergeant thinks that the son of General Hudson, Captain Hudson, has secretly is now, like, looking to be a soldier or looking to be a private and is trying to... Right. And so
does Tim Hudson?
I don't think so. So there is this weird, so then what happens is this,
like, I'll make
it. Yeah, so he bets everybody. The corporal makes all kinds of bets with the corporal and the sergeant make bets to say that basically Hudson will be a big flop in the week, and they put him through a series of
absurdly difficult
chances. Like, they first load his
gun with blanks.
Right. They load his gun with blanks, but then, of course, Superman sees it happening. Yes?
It's funny, because I've gone from, like, saying I have a question, just raising my hand, and I didn't even write the entire time.
Yeah, but you still don't know what blanks look like. Or they might have handed him a loaded rifle. You just don't know. So...
Superman's like, wait, that's not fair. I know what I'll do. I'll shoot these marbles with my super shooting aiming accuracy.
Well, okay, so a couple of things happen as Jimmy is doing target practice with a rifle loaded with blanks. Superman overhears the plot and how they're going to, you know, get him out
and swindle all the other soldiers out of there.
Right. And Superman decides to teach him a lesson. First, he fires bullets. He fires marbles.
He fires marbles at bullet speed.
No. He fires pebbles. See, it says marbles. Keeping hidden, Superman gathers pebbles and I'll fire them at the targets like marbles at bullet speed. So the target hits and
they're all bullseyes.
They're all bullseyes. And so they send him to KP duty.
Because he's a good soldier, apparently, and that's worth punishing.
And so he gets him to peel,
like,
I don't know, like 150 pounds of potatoes.
Pound sacks of
and potato. He's like, this will take a week. And then Soups is like, nope, I got it handled. So he comes in.
And he's potato peeling skills.
And then Superman puts the, tells him what's going on, and he's like, just don't, like, let's teach
and
him a lesson.
And he's like, oh, show him, and then calm yourself.
Says, calm down. So he then loads his pack, and the guy gets into a Jeep and starts to try to pace him, and Jimmy is at first slow, but then the Man of Steel
drops down a wire and basically puts a fish hook on the loop on his backpack. He's like, I will lift you like an inch above the ground. You just look like you're running.
He's
like, okay, run.
He super stretches a bit of metal.
I'm faster than the Jeep. Run.
They do glaze over that pretty easily. So it just looks like he's running and running and running.
And then there's the sergeant or whoever is like, I'm going to drive him to this mud and he will sink and not be able to escape. And Rand's like, not if I have any say about it. Basically bends this giant, naturally occurring, perfectly straight and symmetrical piece of metal into a magnet and lifts Jimmy off of the mud with all of his metal
gear and supplies.
So that we can
at least keep it stable.
Exactly, we can keep it consistent. So he
is then like, okay, let's drive you through barbed wire.
Right. So over and over again, the sergeant tries to
knock Jimmy off the rails.
And Superman is standing at the side, just trying, just like, you know, foiling him
like,
over
no.
and over and over again.
Till at some point.
And then finally, he gives up and the sergeant is like, he's like, all right, I will, I'll give you the money, but it's hidden. And
no,
nobody
he says
knows.
I lost the money.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then they're like, oh, well, Jimmy hears it. And he's like, well, he's got to have it somewhere.
And so he looks.
He's like, I'll bet it's in this missile.
Giant missile. Okay. Have problem.
Please, tell us what is your problem.
Okay, first, is that where missiles actually look?
Yeah.
Are Are they actually that?
Some of them can be.
Second, why would you store money in a vat?
That I don't know.
Something that could, like, go off and explode, and then you would lose all your money.
That I do not know.
And also, like, wouldn't it be dangerous to get it up there and in there in the first place?
Yes. So, basically... So,
this is not...
They get the money.
...common sense.
They get the money, and they're just like, okay, everybody gets their money back. This is all a wash. It's a push. It was all a trick.
And then the missile goes off with Jimmy on it.
And so everything is, in the end, everything is settled. Jimmy's like, I've had it with the army. I gotta go back. And, you know, Jimmy Olsen comes to Chief, to Perry White, and is like, you know, I'm reporting for duty, sir. And then he's just like, knock it off, and let's move on.
Good day, so, sir.
We
sir,
have Stephen's credit sales.
Patriotic and religious mottos.
That's right.
Although, once again, I don't see anything that is actually like God bless America.
It's the same,
all just religious mottos.
It is the same thing that gets pushed over and over again. And now we have a new machine gun.
Another machine gun! It's $1.98. The automatic firing tripod machine gun.
So these are actually
money
cheaper.
Guaranteed.
These things are cheaper than
the Daisy
rifles. And
it probably means they're crappy.
And this is kind of a somewhat, you know, troubling part of it where it says develop deadly target skill.
Dad?
I don't know.
Dad.
And now you can also get the miniature secret camera.
What are the messages that they are trying to tell young boys in this?
Get a camera.
This one page is literally like deadly skills and creeper cameras.
Right.
Spy on scantily clothed women.
The camera basically says, hey, are you a creep?
Well, you should be.
I got a way for you to be even creepier. So it basically says...
And they're the same price!
You can say, you know, basically you can hide in the closet and take pictures of people pitching woo and take pictures of women in bikinis as you hide behind a newspaper and put it in a cigarette pack to pack your cigarettes.
What?
So,
Who said this was acceptable? Who thought this was okay or a good idea?
Hey, it was approved by the Comics Code, so it must be good.
No. No.
All right.
No.
All right. Moving on. So we have,
how to gain up to 50 pounds of mighty muscle.
Right. You get, Mr.
Charles Atlas?
I think. It's George Jewett. He's the world's greatest builder of champions and real He-Man.
I have a problem with that.
Of course you do. So you get his books, and his books tell you how to get a big chest, big arm, big back, big legs, and of course, mighty grip. And then finally, an ad for the Schwinn Mark II Jaguar. No, it's a bicycle. Everybody loves a bicycle. And so basically, come be have the best bike on your block. And that concludes our issue 23.
It looks kind of like the bicycle.
Thank you once again for tuning in.
Thank you.
Let's see. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Stitcher.
Or wherever you find your podcast.
If you have a moment and would like to help show, writing a review on Apple Podcasts, specifically Apple Podcasts, I guess, would not be the worst thing in the world for you to do, and we would really appreciate it.
Would.
DC slogan contest still up, and
once again, if you're the only person to enter, you automatically win.
Up for grabs. Who doesn't like seeds? They're all over these comics.
So
let's see. Anything else to say?
Support your local roller derby. Don't trust buy out of.
I think that's wise words for anybody. Once again, we'd like to thank the Spin Doctors for not suing us or sending us a cease and desist order.
Yep.
Until then, this is Gary Roland.
This is Ella Plum Roland.
Saying
Superman away!
Away!